Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Racing now on Taz Racing Talk. Time to talk thoroughbreds.
Co-development manager for Taz Racing of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, Simon Stout, joins us today. How are you, Simon?
Great, thank you, Shane. Much better than last week.
Yeah, the old frog in the throat last week, but you've cleared that away and set for another big program today. In the meantime, we've had the end of the 2013-14 racing season.
We have indeed, and the standout performance, I think, has been Brendan McCool with his 14th state title in the jockey's ranks, and he's ridden 80 winners for the season at a strike rate of just under 23%, which puts him amongst the best strike rates within the national scene as well, and of course very much so leading down here. The apprentices division was won by Bullet Muku for the first time, and as we mentioned in recent weeks, he's been riding in terrific form and has managed to outride his claim, but it certainly hasn't stopped him at all, with winners at every meeting since then, and with good support from the likes of Adam Trinder and Angela Brakey. And the trainers division has seen the fifth premiership in a row head to David and Scott Brunton at 7 Mile Beach, with 66 wins for the season.
Some great performances there, and the top names just keep rising to the top of the premiership each year, don't they? But we've had some up-and-comers as well that have arrived on the scene. As you mentioned, a couple of the apprentices really firing, and a couple of young trainers starting to make their way, and Angela Brakey's made a late surge up the ladder.
She has. She's bought very well from tried sales as well as bought well out of yearling sales here in recent years, and with the likes of Private Currency, Getaway Gold, she's putting together a nice team of pretty handy performance.
And we've had a couple of retirements this week as well.
We have. Most notably is Brendan's sparring partner of the last 15 years in Stephen Maskill. Stephen's currently doing a stint in Singapore, where he's operating as an assistant trainer to a local trainer over there, and he announced from there during the week that he's decided to hang up the boots, and he's spending some time in Singapore hoping to progress his training career over there. So certainly he leaves a fairly sizable hole within the riding ranks here in Tasmania. He's been a terrific stalwart and had, you know, fantastic success, particularly in the Cups races, with teaming up with the likes of George Blacker and Charlie Goggin.
Yeah, certainly a great career. And another person who will be missed is Jason Clifford.
Yeah, another Hobart Cup-winning trainer. Jason's decided not to renew his trainer's licence this season. Instead, he's heading back to university to study a Bachelor of Education and with a view to taking up some teaching down the track. Jason, of course, prepared a Hobart Cup winner with Dashing Dane, and fittingly prepared his last winner for his current stint anyway on Sunday with Prince Obama, a former group placed performer winning at Launceston.
And we've also seen a huge increase in the turnover on the Tasmanian product through 2013-14, growing by around 10%.
Yeah, we're really pleased with that result, Shane. 10% across all three codes. We're looking at that, when putting that into round figures, it's over $40 million in turnover across the three codes, which is a terrific performance from a thoroughbred level. We've done just over 6% growth in turnover, which might sound a little bit small, but when you compare to last year, we did over 11%, and basically over the last 3 years, the code itself has grown its wagering by close to 25%, which is a terrific performance, I think, probably the envy of any other state in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's great news. Now, let's try and increase that turnover by picking some of the highlights of last week's meeting that can lead us into this week's card.
Certainly. We'll kick off with race one. We've been highlighting the strength of the two-year-olds in recent weeks and how going forward, that we think that, with them turning three at the end of this week and heading into three-year-old and up maidens, that these horses are going to be very competitive in against the older horses, just simply based on the times they've been running. And GD's Bright Star again put up very solid sectionals in breaking 37 on that rain affected ground on Sunday when he posted his win. So I think we can earmark him as a horse with promise. You know, he hasn't missed a place in any of his starts, and having strung two wins together, I think he might be going for a break at the moment. But he's certainly a horse that's shown very good promise going forward.
And one of the horses that you highlighted last week, along with another one that we'll get to a little later, Havana Stash. But in race number three, Mr. Ann Pranks. Now, that's an interesting name.
He is, but, you know, he's a son of Grace Swallow. And whilst he hasn't made a big impression, this former Irish Derby winner, he down here in Tassie, his progeny have done particularly well over the winter months. Van Diemen's Fire and Grey Ground are two that raced competitive against each other, who readily spring to mind. And Mr. Ann Pranks, he's the son of Grace Wallow, had his first start for Cat Kennedy on Sunday and made a big impression with a very strong performance coming from back in the field. And and his times actually backed up what we saw on the video. He posted a sub 37 second last 600 and running last 400 in 24.65, which was one of the best of the day. This horse, he's obviously still got a fair bit to learn and good improvement to come from him, but made a very sizable impression in winning the other day. And from that race too, going forward, trying to find another winner out of the maiden class. And GG's Clang, if you followed up on him, he managed to break 37 for his last 600 and in running a very creditable third. And he's genuinely got his foot on the till at the moment. So he'll bob up somewhere, I'm sure.
And, now you steered us onto Havana Stash last week. It got the job done, and it was another top performance, wasn't it?
This horse has got, you know, he's shown a really good ability to progress through his grades in quick style. He accounted for the open company horses, obviously appreciated the drop to the 54 kilos, but he again managed to reel off some sectionals that were quite above average. He broke 37 for his last 600 and 24.72 for his last 400. Just outlined how much talent this bloke's got. And Brunton's have indicated that they'll be putting him aside and setting him for the new market. So, a big tick of approval from them in terms of how good they think he can be. Spyware's Prado, the old boy at the top of the weights, he was very game in running second, as was Snippity B. The three of them all managed to break 37 for their last 600. And just back in the field, quality filly that resumed, Spinning Jenny. She actually registered the fastest 200-metre sectional of the race, going from the 600 to the 400, where she broke 11.5, and that was one of the fastest 200-metre sectionals of the day. So she might be open to a little bit of natural improvement from that run, considering she's done a bit of work mid-race.
And Moonless, impressive in the last.
Yeah, look, he's off the video. He's probably a forgive horse off the video. He was a touch slow away. He got back in the field, and by that stage, you really had to be in the right spot out wide. He worked his way through the field and finished off in reasonably good style. His closing sectionals, he broke 26 for his last 400, which was by far and away the best of the race. So it's just highlighted that we know this bloke, he enjoys getting out over a trip, being the Guineas winner over 2100. And it's only a matter of time that we see him back in the winner's circle again.
So that was last week. You were able to tip us Havana Stash, GG Bright Star and Zabibo last week. So we've got another big card coming up at Devonport. And again, it's on the Saturday afternoon program. Who did you find could be a winner or two in that particular meeting for us?
We've gone to race three to kick off, Shane. And we found one out of the maidens the other week at Devonport. And that's number 12, Rite of Spring. This horse is trained by Leanne Gaffney. He finished a very creditable fourth the other day behind GG's Baritone, who franked that form with a good second to GG's Bright Star at Launceston on Sunday. This chap, he broke 35 for his last 600. He ran his last 400 in 20, in just a shade over 23 seconds. And, you know, they were very positive. The only sectionals better than him on the day were the winner, GG's Baritone. So I think this bloke going forward, he's got Ismail Toker aboard. He gets a claim there with 2 kilos. He gets in very well here. And I think he can run a good race at what will hopefully be each way odds.
Okay, that sounds inviting. And then up to the quaddy legs, race number 6 on the program, GG Showboy's a chance.
Yeah, this bloke of Stuart Gandy's and Stuart's team are in terrific form, as showed by his double at Devonport the other week, including a Quinella. And this horse chased home Crystal Reef, and Crystal Reef, he's unbeaten at the 1350 at Devonport. But this bloke, he reeled off some very solid sectionals for his last 800, in which he came home in 47.10 and 634.73 when running second to Crystal Reef. He gets David Perez from Barrier 9 here in what I think is probably the slightly softer division of the Benchmark 62. And I think he's certainly one that could represent good value in the first week for quaddy punters.
Okay, well, it sounds like we're going to have a value-packed day at Devonport, that's for sure. What about race 7? So you've got Unoak circled here.
We have. She got back the other day in the race won by Overproof. And Overproof and Hellstrong sat up on the speed and controlled the tempo. Unoak's had to get rolling early into the race and was still able to run a sub-24 second last 400 for that race the other day. She gets Rasset Yetimova aboard this week, drops to 53 kilos with his claim. I think, with a good genuine tempo up front with the likes of Make Sense and Hellstrong in the race and Overproof again, I think she could be one that's storming home over the top of them.
And you've found one in the last down in the weights, Tuesday Night Delight.
Yeah, this mare's been in terrific form, in particular at Hobart, where she's had no luck behind Spyware's Prado off the video 2 runs ago, and then was very, very good late behind her Vanastash at her next, at her subsequent run. She gets down here on 54. Those performances have been franked by Vanastash and Spyware's Prado last weekend. They're going to roll along here. She'll get the speed up in front, which she genuinely enjoys, and a chance to run over the top of these. I think by that end of the day, she could be the one that could finish the day on a high note for a punters.
Well, sounds like a great day coming up at Devonport. Those 4 runners again. Race 3, number 12, Rite of Spring. Race 6, number 7, GG Showboy. Race 7, number 6, Unoaked. And in the last race, 9, number 13, Tuesday Night Delight. And our old mate, the cleaner, goes around at the Valley again this week.
He does. He heads to Mooney Valley over the mile. We've had to change a rider with Anthony Darman, and unfortunately he hurt his knee the other week when winning on Spirit and Eye. She whipped around after the finish line and Anthony sustained a bit of a twist in his knee. So he's off the scene for 4 or 5 weeks. But Noel Callow takes over on Saturday. And one thing about we can be sure of is that he'll be using all his persuasive powers to get the cleaner to give his best. But from Barrier 1, which is probably not ideal, given he's proven that he's just taken a little bit to muster speed, but in his races at recent times. But I'm sure Noel will get him out cleanly, and with the 60.5, he'll be giving punters his usual great sights out in front.
It'll be a great way to start off the new season. Thanks for your time today, Simon.
No worries. Thank you, Shane.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Joining us now on Taz Racing Talk is the journalist for Taz Racing, Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. I'm trying to recover from last week's quaddy, Getaway Gold. The last thing we needed that coming down the outside, but apparently both you and I had the little bit of mail on it and ignored it.
Absolutely. Forgot all about it, to be honest, and it got up at 50 to 1. Haven't slept since. Haven't been able to sleep since, but good luck to Angela Breaker, who really finished the season off well. I think the last 12 horses she saddled up came home with 6 winners, so that's a great way to finish the season. I'm sure she'll be looking forward to kicking off the 2014-15 season in the same fashion. And she gets to race on a home track first up, because we're racing at Devonport on Saturday, a 9-race card. How's the program look?
Well, it looks jam-packed, and certainly the back end and the quaddie legs, Shane, I think we're going to have to go wide in all the legs, to snare it. There's a lot of good horses coming back from a spell. They'll be gearing up for these good prize money races at Devonport. Of course, they're racing every weekend at Devonport, Saturday this weekend, and then the next 2 Sundays and Saturday after that, and then we finish at the end of the month on a Sunday. So it should be terrific, and I can tell you that 100 mils has fallen at Devonport this week so far, and if it had been turf, we wouldn't have been racing anywhere in this state if we had racing on turf.
100 mils, and I've been hit by every one of them. Don't worry about that. It's been very wet indeed. Now, we're up to a look at the first leg of the quaddie. It's the benchmark 62 handicap. It's over the 1350. Where do we go in the first leg?
Yeah, well, the benchmark 62s and 82s come into play for this this month, and I think it's a good idea. Look, Super Broadband, I think he's the best horse in the race. He's drawn out wide, but he's got 60.5 because he's the highest rater. But he was so good last start. He flashed home for second last time out, and I was pretty impressed. That was behind Genuine Lad, and that was over the 1880 on this track. Drops back to the 1350. I still think it'll be suitable for him. I think he's a pretty versatile galloper. But Darcill gets back to the synthetic. Was hopeless on the heavy ground at Launceston. Actually, I thought, on its first up run, it'd be a chance, but it finished fifth to sixth. But it's better at on the synthetic, and it's certainly a chance, and it's a 63 rater in a 62 event. My Angels was Butte, number 3, Butte in Hobart. Came from nowhere and just absolutely stormed home. If it takes that form into the race, then it's going to be a chance. And it has won once on this track, so keep an eye out for it. By far having its first start on the Tapeta. It came off a first start fourth and got to the line really well last time out. And there's a 3-kilo claimer on top. Puts it on 55. And Sid the Sloth, number 6, I think they're the main chances. A last start over the 1150 and goes up to the 1350 Sid the Sloth. I think we took 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. We should pretty much have it covered. If you went wider, you'd just pop the 7 and 8 in. First starter in the state, number 5, Roussos Destiny for Michael Trinder. Actually, it's part owned by Bob Charlie, who's the chairman of the Australian Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame. He's got a share of this one that was bred by Mike Moraitis. Nick Moraitis, I should say. I think we need to watch an Eagle that ran last in a trial at Devonport on Tuesday. So, it might be okay. It's got reasonable form on the Gold Coast.
So it sounds like a pretty tough leg, the first leg. What about the second leg? It's the benchmark 82 handicap, 1650 the journey.
Probably less chances in this, Shane. It's BM82, and the toppy JB's GG is the top rater. He's an 82 rated horse. He gets a 3-kilo lift with Hayley McCarthy to go on, only carrying 56. That'll be an advantage for him. But look, I'm prepared to give Blacko another chance. He got the tongue over the bit last time. I've spoken to Glenn Stevenson. He had the horse's bloods done straight after the race. They came back normal. Look, when the jockey got off, he said, look, his tongue was hanging out the side of his mouth at one stage, and he races with a tongue tie, but got that off and got the tongue over the bit. So there were excuses for him, so I'm prepared to give him another chance, because he did win his previous 2, and he was impressive. He's not far off the 82 rating. He's a 75 rated horse, drawn wide, but Corey Parrish is sticking with him. I'm prepared to give him another chance over JB's GG, the top weight. He deserves to be the top weight, and he has good form, but hasn't won this time in at 3 minors. Number 6, Unoaked. She gets her chance to be belting home at the business end, and she's a lightweight chance. Gets a 1.5-kilo claim for a stable apprentice, Rasit Yedimova, carries 53. So he's got a rate, along with number 8, Hellstrong. Thought he was just going to run past Overproof in the home straight. I was standing next to David Brunton, and he thought the horse was home, and he just dropped his head when Hellstrong refused to go past Overproof. But I think he's probably You know, he's fifth up now. I think he's a chance. And number five makes sense. Maybe he could sneak into the drum. But I think the top four are 4, 1, 6, and 8 in the second leg.
Third leg over 11.50 for the class one runners. Tennessee Drive won impressively in its maiden first up for Troy Blacker. Can it go back to back?
Oh, geez, it was impressive, wasn't it, Shane? I'm happy to have it on top the way that it won. Got a 3 kilo claim for Hayley McCarthy, carry 56. But boy, it was very, very impressive. Troy's got some, you know, some nice horses in the yard, and this horse, Tennessee Drive, it's owned by his mum and dad, George and Marlene Blacker, and bred by Parkcrest Stud by Mr. Innocent out of Invermay Girl. That was raced by Bruno Calabro and trained by Barry Campbell from Emmerich, by West Quest. But certainly the way that it won on debut, beating GG's Baritone, it's since gone on and won and ran a game second to GG's Bright Star in Launceston on Sunday. So there's some good form through that. He's been freshened up again. Hasn't started since the 6th of July. So, look, this is certainly a very winnable race for Tennessee Drive. I think I have him on top over GG Soprano, that was a game second, first up from a spell behind Ivana Stash in Hobart. Well, Ivana Stash came out and won that race on Sunday in at Launceston and was super impressive. And big raps on Ivana Stash. They're going to tuck him away now. He's in the paddock and he'll come back and be prepared for the Newmarket. So good form line there with GG Soprano. Bernard, number three, has been out for a spell, won on debut, won a trial at Devonport before he went and won on debut in Launceston. So he handles the synthetic okay. Holy Cat, Angela Brakey, you know, stable's in great form, and Holy Cat's third up from a spell. It'll certainly be a chance, along with number five, Isn't Life Strange. 2, 1, 3, 5, and 4.
Last leg, 1150, benchmark 72 handicap, made all the harder by the fact 7 of the 14 runners are first up from a spell.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a big fan for Questmaster. He's one of my favourite horses. Super effort to win first up last preparation, then came along and won a feature. He's a very good horse and very good horse fresh. Trained on the track. We know he can win there. Drawn out wide, but he's got plenty of early speed. Corey Parrish, a left-hand whip rider, will help if he lays in. So I'm prepared to put Questmaster first up from a spell on top, despite the wide draw and the big weight of 59.5, but he is a big lump of a horse. Number six, our Casanova. Very impressive winning last start. David Perez on board. He finished second on the jockey's premiership table, and he's riding in good form. Seven, Classic Outlaw. The wide gate sort of put me off a little bit, but I spoke to trainer Glenn Stevenson, and he said Classic Outlaw hasn't gone backwards since its last win on the track over Osborne. 13, Tuesday Night Delight. Well, Tuesday Night Delight has got pretty good form. You know, it handles a synthetic, and its last start, second, was behind Havana Stash, and that was on the 13th of July on a heavy track in Hobart. So once again, that's good form, and you'd have to include it. And Alarmist probably is the other one you might pop in, number 4, 2, 6, 7, 13, and 4.
Okay, so how much is this quadrilla going to cost us on Saturday?
Well, I've tried to whittle it down as best I can, so we'll go wide in the first leg to try and keep alive to start with in 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. In the second leg, 4, 1, 6, and 8. We'll take 4 in the third leg of 2, 1, 3, and 5, and we'll try and get away with just taking 3 in the last of 2, 6, and 7. That's $240 or $60 for 25%.
What about 3%? What's that? What's that worth?
You're working out. That's $2.40 by 3.
That's all right. That's where I'll be after not backing that 50-1 winner last week.
We'll both get on for $7.20.
That's it. I'll go your halves. Now, what about a best on the card or another race that you like the look of that we can make a few dollars?
Look, in the opening race, is a beauty. It's a class two, and the top two, Osborne and Concrete Johnny. Concrete Johnny, this will be his first crack at the synthetic, but geez, he was terrific and looked fantastic in the yard before he won first up. And, you know, I think he's a horse with a real bit of depth about him. And Osborne, he'll benefit from his first up run. I think we can, and then Beryl B's first up, and she's pretty smart. I thought we might be able to, in Song of Joy's in the race, so they'll go like Cut Cats early. Look, I would expect Song of Joy to lead, and these three will just camp behind them and go and run over the top. So I'd be keen on 1 and 2 for the Quinella and box 1, 2, 3 in the trifecta in the first race in the multiples.
Okay, so that'll get us some money. Might be able to spend it on that quaddie. Good luck with those tips, Pete. We'll join you again next week on Taz Racing Talk.
Look forward to it, Shane.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.